In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, welcome to all of you this morning to Providence Presbyterian Church. It will be nice and bright and springy when we leave this place, I predict. Please take time to sign the welcome pads that you'll find on the inside aisle and share any information that you would like us to have about you. And we would love for you to pass those down the pews so that you may greet one another by name following the worship service. You are all invited to a time of fellowship in the Hope Room immediately behind the sanctuary after the worship service this morning, and so that you may further fellowship with one another in this time. Call your attention to the announcements and the calendar that you'll find in your bulletin this week for things that are happening this week, and wanted to highlight a couple of things that are coming up soon after this week as well. We are looking for people to sign up to help with the Camp Street food pantry that we staff on the third Saturday of each month, and that sign-up sheet is on the bulletin board. That's April 16th this year from 9 a.m. to noon. And also on the 16th at 4 o'clock, there is a gospel concert at Olney Street Baptist Church that we have been invited to. That should be a wonderful time of fellowship. They have a great gospel choir, and the details about that will be also up on the bulletin board soon. And we'll make sure that gets into the publicist as well this week. On April 22nd or 23rd, we've been invited to the neighborhood cleanup and spring planting at Billy Taylor Park, which is on the way to Camp Street, Camp and Cypress Street. If you're interested in being part of that effort, please sign up on the list that is in the Hope Room. It's a morning only event, and we'd like to know if there are folks here who are interested in doing that. Also on the mission board is the information about the Brazilian barbecue fundraiser for Presbyterian Immigration Ministry. We will be taking folks there. I'm planning to drive and go to that. So if you would like to register and carpool to that, you're welcome to do that as well. Are there other announcements this morning for the good of the order? Yes, Will.
Good morning. We've had several out and about meetings already. So what's happening is every first Friday of the month, we're going to be meeting here at the church for different, we've had two meals so far. May the 6th at 7:15, we're going to probably have a little meal again, but we're also going to have a movie night. We're going to bring some movies and let the group choose what movies they want to see. And then we're having on June the 3rd on ice cream. I said war. I forgot. Welcoming social.
Yeah.
Mine was too violent. An ice cream war. We have someone bringing some vanilla ice cream. It's gonna be blind tested from Gray's, which is in Tiverton, versus Brickley's vanilla, and we're gonna fight it out here. Just also put on your calendars. June 18th is Pride Festival, and we will be taking anyone and everyone to come down. It's really a wonderful experience just to sit there and talk to people and talk to each other. So if you have any questions, I'll be putting the list up next week for you to contact me if you'd like, or put your, and also what's coming up. Thank you very much.
Or talk to Will after worship today. Please join with me in the responsive call to worship. Jesus Christ appeared to the disciples. We have grace and peace from God, who was and is to come. The disciples received the Holy Spirit. We have grace and peace from God, who was and is to come. The Lord God is the Alpha and the Omega. We have grace and peace from God, who was and is to come. Let us worship God with Easter joy. Let us rise to sing together Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, number 376 in the large hymnal. The gift of God's great grace through Jesus Christ is that we are invited to confess and heal through the love that has been poured out for us. So let us pray our confession, first in silence, then confessing together using the prayer printed in our bulletin. Let us pray. God of everlasting life, we confess that we continue in the ways of death. You offer us your forgiveness, yet we refuse to forgive others. You show us signs of resurrection, yet still we fail to believe. Forgive us, God of grace. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and send us out in mission to proclaim your reconciling love through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The mercies of our Lord are from everlasting to everlasting, new every morning. Let us go forth in the love and the grace of God, this good news of Easter, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Let us sing our response, Christ the Lord is risen today, verse 1.
Yeah. aso reni je ahun so bena menya aso rahun to eni je bena menya aso reni je ahun so bena menya aso rahun to aha boni na so aha boni na so aha boni na so ebe ye ni je ebe ye wa wa se eni je bena menya aso reni je ahun so bena menya aso rahun to eni je bena menya aso reni je ahun so bena menya aso rahun to aha boni na so aha boni na so aha boni na so ebe ye ni je ebe ye wa wa se
amen.
Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Let the church say amen.
Amen.
It is a blessing to have this time together. Amen?
Amen.
It's a gift to be together. And one of the gifts of our time of worship is that we have a sacred space, a sacred ground for which we can lift up our prayer concerns with and for each other. Are there any prayer concerns this day in the church?
I would love your prayers for the delegation that's going from the Rhode Island Council of Churches this week, including me, to visit the sites of the civil rights movement. We're traveling on Tuesday to Atlanta, Montgomery, Selma, Birmingham, a group of about 20 of us from many different parts of Rhode Island, and it's an amazing group, including Alon Cook, who's going as well through the gifts of this church and many who have helped to support that. So, and it is my main piece of study leave this year, so we look forward to bringing words back and sharing pieces of it.
Concern. I really didn't know how to pray about this. My son Daniel and his wife are thinking about moving to California. I don't want them going. So I just, you know, I just put it in God's hands to him to bless Daniel and Joanne and their family. So it's about the best I can do. If you could just pray for that, it would be helpful. Thank you.
I just want to thank God for being back home safe from my 2 weeks vacation trip. Thank God.
Amen.
I need to pray for my whole body. I have problem my stomach, my back, the headache. Please, for pray my son. Thank you.
Just ask for prayers for my friend Bill, who's fighting ALS, and he's having a feeding tube put in Wednesday, and he's worried about that.
I'd like to ask prayers for two friends, Kristen and Rena, both having long-term serious health issues.
I'm asking for continuous prayers for the faculty and the student body of Ghana Secondary School, the school that the whole block, we learned a little bit more about how the fire started. There's been a lot of rainfall, downpour in Ghana recently with people misplacing homes and, you know, flooding and people's homes have been demolished. The homes that are now well structured are all broken down. People are homeless. And this is even in the city. And we get the news that there was a heavy downpour that day, and there was some lightning, and the lightning struck the dormitory, and it was the whole, it's a big block of the girls' dormitory, and the whole building burned down to nothing. it's a miracle that it was in the evening and they were in evening classes. And we all know that sometimes when we go to prep, some people like to stay in the dormitory. I've done that before. And we don't go to the evening classes. But miraculously, all the girls went to that prep that night. Amen. It's amazing. Amen. There is a God up there. Amen. So the student body of about 500 people, they've all been sent home. And there's been donations from, you know, pouring in from, you know, former students that are here and across, you know, the United States and overseas. So lots of prayers. We don't know how we're going to put this building back, but the government is trying to help as much as they can. So lots of prayers.
Please pray for Monica and Lee, for Monica to heal whatever issues she has, and Lee is in the hospital again. Nothing dramatic, they're running some tests, but still, hospital is hospital.
Please, I need a prayer. I'm not feeling well.
Absolutely. Wanted to hold up, as Elena mentioned, Lee is in the hospital. He actually will be having a catheterization tomorrow. So we do want to hold him up as he prepares for this procedure and is actually being transported from one hospital to another in order for that catheterization to take place. So we just hold them in there and hold them up tightly, as well as Monica. She had injured her hand, and Monica's sister, Joni, who is, as we mentioned previously, still recovering from some issues around COPD. So just hold that family tightly these days. Amen?
Let us pray. You call us, O God, to be an Easter people of hope, ever willing to hear our limitations and doubts, ever seeking to transform our world into a place of peace, justice, and possibility for all your people. For you have created all of us, your people, in your image, and you set us free to love. We pray for our world which fails to reflect that image of perfection, for refugees without homes and those settling into new communities, for the homeless in the cold, for those struggling on the edges of poverty, for all of the students, families, and alumni of this school in Ghana, in light of this dramatic fire. We ask and seek your blessing for all your people, near and far. We pray for you, we pray to you this day for all those who are in need of your healing touch, for Sherry's grandfather, for Lee and Monica, for Julie Baldwin, for Eden Fisher, for Angelina. We pray for all those who are in hard places of life, named and unnamed, for caregivers supporting loved ones, for Bill, for Denise, for Kristen and Arena, and long-term serious health issues. In life and in death, we belong to you, O God. And we pray for those who grieve the loss of loved ones this week and the ongoing work of grief. For Jo Fisher's family in the loss of her aunt as she travels tomorrow to Pennsylvania. For Darlene in the loss of her father. You hold your people, O God, in your hand ever. Make us conscious of your presence in walking with us through the decisions and challenges of life. We pray for Daniel and Joanne in these discerning days as they look to California, and for Joanne in this time. We pray, O Lord, that we would see your blessings wherever they may arise. We give thanks for safe travels for Glenn and Nancy returning home from Cuba, for Gladys back with us again after her weeks away. We seek your presence with Andrew's parents as they travel to Guatemala this week to bring light and hope to the community that has been near and dear to their hearts. We thank you for the opportunity of this Council of Churches Civil Rights Tour and pray that we may together be transformed in community and in witness to continue this struggle for justice. We pray for those who are discerning membership in this church and the work of our session in leading this week. Make us all, O God, the disciples you would have us to be, and open us to the ways in which you are leading us ever into new places through your power and grace and love. We pray as our Lord taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, you give us light when it is dark, and your rays of light illumine the world and fill us with life. Open our hearts and minds so that we may see your handiworks and know your presence. May the Holy Spirit move through us as we read the scriptures today. Our Old Testament lesson today is from Psalm 150. In your Pew Bible, page 551, large print Bible on page 717, and projected on the board. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his surpassing greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with clanging cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The New Testament lesson is in John chapter 20, 19 to 31. In your Pew Bible, page 108, large print Bible in page 141 and projected. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hands and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. Thomas answered him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, but are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning, Easter people. Today's psalm is an invitation to praise God with great joy. As children of the cross, children of resurrection, proclaimers of the great good news, we are welcomed with divine imperative, with direct divine command to praise the Lord. Praise God in God's sanctuary. Praise God in the mighty firmament, which is a word I don't use every day and had to look up, which means the expansive skies, the fullness of heavens. Praise God for God's mighty deeds. Praise God according to God's surpassing greatness. On this Easter Sunday, and yes, this is Easter Sunday, I am not confused, for as we proclaim in our actions, much like with Christmas, it is not a day, but a season and a lifestyle. Amen? On this Easter Sunday, we are invited by the psalmist, invited by God Almighty, to praise God to the highest. But I sense, having spoken to some of you this week, that even with less than a week since resurrection, some of that Easter joy is already reigning. Amen? Since resurrection, we've already starting to engage those struggles that makes Easter joy, well, seem a little less shiny. Amen. A little less exciting as we might have felt this time last week that we'd hoped we'd be able to hold on to with full gusto. But instead, the realities of life have us in a place of doubt. Doubting if things will really work out, even as Easter people. Doubting if things will be okay at work. If things will really be okay at school, doubts and fears that permeate how we feel about the political sphere, amen? Doubts and fears that permeate how we feel about our bodies and our health as we see and hear the stories of illness, and as we all feel the realities of aging that affects us in mind and body, doubts and fears around relationships or lack thereof, doubts and fears about the possibility of justice really raining and falling like an ever-flowing stream. Doubts and fears in light of the powers and principalities of this world that promote selfishness over selflessness, that promote division over care. These doubts and fears are real, amen? And we even have these doubts and fears, despite the excitement of the psalmist, when it comes to worshiping and praising God in this place. The officers' retreat a few weeks back stirred up some conversations and questions about how do we in this diverse and beautiful congregation hear, hold up, and enjoy the beauty of authentic, rich, intercultural, just, and faithful worship in which people are able to flourish and fully celebrate God in the ways that are truthful to them, while naming the reality of power dynamics, naming the reality of our brokenness even, which can feel so risky, so full of doubts, so full of fears. Yep, fears and doubts are real, and they come quickly, even in the light of Easter. So while many of us have already taken down our egg decorations and the pictures of bunnies have already faded from the walls, not to return for another 11 months, I think this scripture is the gift for what we need this day. These scriptures that we are offered are gifted to us as opportunities to reconnect with what it is to be Easter people and to replenish our call to praise God in the midst of it all. The gospel text picks up right after last week's Easter reading, where we saw Mary Magdalene encounter Jesus, who at first she assumes to be a meddling early morning gardener. We hear Jesus cut through the fog of Mary's confusion, not by an in-depth rationalization or a paragraph of pensive, persuasive prose. No, instead, he cuts through and awakens Mary's spirit in mind of his presence with the simple utterance of her name, Mary. In that one word, she recognizes Christ as her teacher, as her Lord, as her friend. And last week, Jamie and Joe did an amazing job sharing that with us, amen? As they portrayed and offered biblical storytelling, Mary is prohibited, as you may remember, from actually touching Jesus. I mention these things because this theme of being revealed and whether or not to touch are further explored in our text today. She is prevented from touching, but yet she is the one for whom Jesus offers the call to share the good news of resurrection to the other disciples. Then Mary Magdalene went and she announced, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them everything that Jesus had told him to say to them. So, as we reach today's scripture and focus in on what happens next, we focus in on the disciples themselves. Imagine, got your imagining hat on? Imagine you have just come back from the funeral of your dear cousin Joshua. You are sitting in the aftermath. Maybe it's a room full of food that people have brought over. And cousin Miriam runs into the room and says, you know, cousin Miriam, that one who loves Joshua so much, runs into the room and says, I have seen Joshua. And he told me to tell you he's not dead. Would you believe her? Would you calmly accept her account of what happened? Or would you have doubt? All right, I want an actual show of hands. If Cousin Miriam came in and said, dead cousin Joshua is alive, but you just left the funeral not too long ago, who here would say, all right, I believe you? We got one. All right, you got a half, one and a half. I'll take it. I'll be honest, I'd have my doubts. I might tell her to go take a nap. Stress is real, grieving is real. But these are the questions set before the first disciples. These are the realities. These are the questions, too, set before us as Easter people these thousands of years later. Our scripture says, when it was evening on that same day, that resurrection Sunday, the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. So this is what happens after she comes. They had the fear of the Jews, the same fear that had left Joseph of Arimathea to be a secret disciple. This fear is real, amen? And they were in the midst of this fear, this doubt. And there in the midst of their fear of persecution, there in the midst of their fear of the unknown, there in the midst of their doubt of if God even sees them right now, their fears, their doubts of is God even active in this situation, in the midst of their doubts of if God is even alive at all, did God die on that cross? Is it all for naught? That is when, in their doubt, they hear this tale of Miriam, the Hebrew name of Mary, brought to them. It is when they were in doubt. And at that place of fear and doubt, Jesus came. Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Jesus appears to them with words of peace. Jesus appears to them in the midst of the storm of their emotions and offers them words of calm. Jesus offers words of shalom, words of wholeness, words of reconciliation, words of peace. Peace be with you. I find it amazing and beautiful. I find it lovely that when the disciples were most distraught in their doubt, not after their doubt, but in the midst of their questions, Jesus came to them. So frequently we think that our doubts and the arrival of Jesus' presence can't happen at the same time. But here we find that after he said this, he didn't just mention it. Peace be with you. He goes on and he shows them his hands and his side. He shows them his hand and his side, and out of response, it says the disciples rejoice that they had seen the Lord. Now, that didn't have to happen that way, right? Jesus has just shown up out of nowhere, said peace be with you, and shown you the marks of the crucifixion. They could have ran. Might have been my choice. They could have denied what they were seeing. Maybe I am just really, really stressed out right now. But their response was to rejoice. I hear that call of the psalmist again. Amen. In everything, praise the Lord. Jesus is showing us the power of truth. And he shows it to them, not just with words, but with actions and visuals. This says that Jesus cares about our whole being. What we hear, what we see, they are all gifts for understanding and engaging who this Jesus person is. He didn't just tell them, but he showed them, and they rejoiced. As Easter people, the ability to cultivate Christ-like compassion means that we too are called not just to tell people stuff, but to show them. The signs of the sacrifice, the signs of the brokenness. We have the ability to be teachers, just like Christ is showing our disciples in our story, to share the good news by many different means. This is an invitation to go deeper in our embodied discipleship. That means the whole of our being is called into presence with Christ. This is an invitation, and it was an invitation for those disciples in that original space who were so hunkered down with fear that first Easter morning. And it is an invitation to all of us who can feel hunkered down with the real fears, the real persecutions by the powers and principalities of this day. Amen. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I send you." Jesus sends us in the midst of our fears. Jesus sends us in the midst of our passion. Jesus sends us with our gifts and our limitations. Jesus sends us with our joys and our sorrows. This is an invitation to a fully embodied response. You need not wait until your faith is perfect to participate with this Jesus. Amen. Like the psalmist, this is an invitation to be dynamic and worshipful in response to Christ now. When he had said this, Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive any sins, they are forgiven. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Wow. Jesus, you're going to empower these very fragile people who 5 minutes ago were hunkered down in the corner with the ability to forgive sins? Wouldn't be my choice. But you're so good. You're so gracious to offer that to these broken, imperfect people, the ability to forgive, to be vessels of forgiveness. Jesus empowers his disciples with the power to forgive or retain the sins of any. The power is given freely, or we have the power to constrain. That's kind of scary. And we can see in our own experiences places in which we could have been offered forgiveness, but instead we're offered constraint. We see this in our day-to-day lives. As disciples, we are called to be forgivers. But there are spaces where we question, are we called to restrain? Do you keep tabs on the things that people have done wrong for the sake of accountability? Or do you live from a place of gracious forgiveness? Do you tally up imperfections, or do you cultivate a life of grace? As a church, these are real questions, amen? They're not easy questions, but they are questions for which, when led by the Holy Spirit, we are capable of doing with love and with compassion, just like the Christ who came in the midst of the people's fears. We have fears about the way that we act and the ways that we don't act. We have fears of the spaces in which we are called to draw together in a world that is full of pulling apart. I'm grateful that we have the story of the disciples, but I'm even more grateful of this story of Thomas. It picks up right after we just left off, and it was Thomas who's called the twin. I love that part because we don't know whose twin Thomas is. He's just called the twin. Some have speculated that he kind of looked like Jesus, so they thought he was like a twin of Jesus, people would assume. I don't know. I kind of like the idea that he's our twin. Amen? He stands in for us because that's probably would have been me. My timing is not always the best. Thomas, one of the 12, was not there when Jesus came, and the other disciples said, "We have seen the Lord," the exact words that Mary had been offered when she encountered Jesus. "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, and this is so real, "Unless I see the marks of the nail in his hand," and this is where the power of prepositions are real, "and I put my finger into the mark of the nails, and I put my hand in his side," not on his side, but in his side, "I will believe." Wow. Thomas, you want to go all in. Literally. Thomas is yearning for that full embodiment experience of Christ. Amen? He's not looking for the clean, neat up version. "Yeah, that sounds good. He was here. Great. I'm good with that." No, I want to be in it. I need to touch it in order to understand. Some of us are like that. Amen? That sensory, tactile need helps us to get it in our bones, to viscerally know the truth. Yet to say that in the midst of a group of people who have just seen the Lord was vulnerable. Amen? It means to say, "Yeah, I hear everything you all are saying, but I have to see it for myself." Most of us are not willing to do that. Most of us would ebb and flow with the group that we're in, right? Everyone says we see Jesus. Okay. Yeah, sure. No. Thomas was honest with his vulnerability and say, "Nope. Unless I see it, I won't go along to get along." A week later, again, God's divine timing, not his, Jesus' disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with him. And although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood with them and said, guess what? "Peace be with you." The things that Jesus will go through for his people to believe is extraordinary. Amen? The literal barriers, the literal walls that Jesus will overcome, both physically and mentally, to say, no, "I really need you to know me. I really need you to see where I'm going. I need you to see where you're being sent." Praise God, because some of us will not respond to anything less. Amen? And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my side, and see my hands. And then reach your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." My, that is a gracious Lord. Not only do I care enough about you, Thomas, to make another run through, to come back around for you, but I want you to know me so much that I will open up the most tender parts of who I am for you to see, for you to touch, for you to know who I am. And then Thomas responds to him as, "My God, my Lord." And Jesus says, "You have believed because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe who have not seen but yet have come to believe." When I think about Thomas, there's a Chinese proverb that came to mind, and I had to look up the exact wording, but it was the idea that if you tell me, I'll forget. If you show me, I may remember. But if you involve me, I'll understand. That's all of us, amen? The more we are involved, the more we are allowed to get into the messiness of our call as Christians, it's in our bones. It's no longer just a cerebral exercise. is no longer just this, oh, that's a nice thought, thanks. Jesus comes back around for each and every one of us, just like he came back around for Thomas. Jesus did it for Thomas, this invitation to be involved with me. Jesus did it for the disciples. Come, I am sending you like my God has sent me. Jesus did it for Mary. Go, tell them these things that I have told you. Jesus wants us to be involved as his disciples. This is beautiful, but in reality, we have our doubts. We're scared at times. We are hunkered down. We gather for worship as a place where we can come together and see anew this Christ who was broken for us, this Christ who shed blood for us. And in that, we feel the Holy Spirit anew within us. Amen. So who knows? While we stand in the midst of our fears and doubts, where God will show up next, where we will see Christ come through the doors in ways that are unexpected. But we do know the call before us, the divine imperative when in doubt, is to praise God, to rejoice when we recognize Christ's presence. So maybe we will do like the psalmist suggests, praise God with the trumpet sound, praise God with the lute and the harp, praise God with the tambourine and dance, praise God with the strings and the pipes, praise God with the clanging cymbals. Maybe we will even praise God with the loud clashing cymbals. Whatever it is, we are called to let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Even when we are in doubt. Amen.
Will you please join me in the affirmation of faith printed in the bulletin and projected on the screen? We believe that the God's life-giving word and spirit has conquered the powers of sin and death, and therefore also of irreconciliation and hatred, bitterness and enmity, that God's life-giving word and spirit will enable the church to live new obedience, which can open new possibilities of life, society, and the world. As we give thanks to God, who has so richly blessed us in our lives, we will now receive tithes and offerings.
Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they recognized him.
This is the Lord's table. It is not this church's table. It is not my table. It is not your table. It is God's table. It is a table prepared and shrouded with grace. And so come, those who have much faith and those who have much doubt, come those who are certain and those who have fear. This is the Lord's table. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
We lift them to the Lord.
We give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, creator and ruler of the universe. You established your church to testify to the power of Christ's resurrection, a people of one heart and soul, holding everything in common, sharing their abundance with the poor. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with choirs of angels, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all the faithful of every time and place, who forever sing to the glory of your name.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. With Thomas, we confess that Christ Jesus is our Lord and our God. Christ breathes into us the gift of the Spirit and the power of forgiveness. By the gift of faith, we have entered eternal life in his name.
We give you thanks that the Lord, on the night before he died, took bread, and having given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And at the same way, he took the cup, saying, this is the new covenant, my blood shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink of it, do this in remembrance of me.
Remembering your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this bread and this wine, and joyfully celebrate his dying and rising as we await the day of his coming. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you, to be a living and holy sacrifice dedicated to your service. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died.
Dying, you destroyed our death.
Christ is risen.
Rising, you restored our life.
Christ will come again.
Lord Jesus, come in glory.
Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these, your gifts of bread and cup, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Jesus said, I am the bread of life.
Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever comes to me will never be thirsty. Whoever believes in me will never be hungry. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You are invited to come forward. It's a reminder for those who are gluten intolerant. There are wafers for your ability to completely participate in the communion this day. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of glory, we give you thanks for this feast of your goodness and grace. Send us out to share the bread of life with all who hunger for your love. Through Jesus Christ, our living Lord. Amen.
As we leave this place where we remember our call to praise the Lord, even when in doubt. Amen.
Okay.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Good. Safe travel.
Big hug.
Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you, my
sister. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Good night.
God bless you. God
bless you. God bless you.
I was nice.
Oh, thank you. I'm so enjoying this girl. We're thinking laser tag might be the next event. Are you willing to try it? Okay.
God bless you.
Great for you. God bless you. Congratulations on your internship after school, right? Then you find out you're... Oh, who is it? I'm so sorry. I don't know why I left Facebook. I thought it was you. Sorry. Yep. Well, whoever it is.
Yeah.
Running to the end of the marathon. See the light's getting bigger. Did you plan that? Did you say, Mom, what are you wearing? I'm gonna wear the same thing. Yeah, okay. It looks like it.